works that he is doing today. The two works is he is sustaining his blank. What do you think it is? He's sustaining Colossians 1, 16 through 18. Sustaining his what do you think? Is it creation? So God has a work of sustaining his creation. Now, we know that he will do that perfect work and that that will be completed completely because of his second work that he is contained in, and that is his work of not just creation, but his work of redemption. Good job. Redemption. Look at that. I always did good on tests because sometimes I would, especially in 6th and 7th grade, I would, the teacher would take me, I was making the teachers look bad, okay, because I was coming out with great grades. Mm-hmm. So they would take me before each test and they would go through the answers of the test with me. They would study with me and study with me and study with me. And one of the ways that I would watch them, because sometimes I'd be able to take an oral test instead of writing it, and I would just watch their faces. And if they grimaced or something, let's try a new angle here until I got the right answer to the question. So I've brought that bad habit into the kids sometimes, so my wife doesn't let me give them a lot of tests because we don't want to. I just look at them like, And then I give about 6 or 7 hints. Oh, good job! That's neither here nor there. So the other thing that I see is God has called us to his work of redemption, and he's partnered with us, right? So that the fullness of his redemption is going to be the resurrection of our earthly bodies. So God has called us, and he's given us a mission through his will for us to work with him in his plan of redemption. Now, he's done this in two categories. He's given us gifts, and we're going to talk more about like the character of these gifts. But there's two categories of these gifts. There's blank gifts, and then there's blank gifts. Okay, what's the first gift? There's, use it with your mouth. There's speaking gifts from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, right? And then there's what type of gifts? If you're not speaking, you should be doing, right? They're called ministering gifts. So there's those two breakdowns. Everybody remember this? Let's write these review questions down. There's a breakdown of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, that the gifts that God, or the spiritual characteristics that God gives you, can be broken down into two different categories. One category is his speaking gifts, and when you speak, you are to speak as if it's the word of God. So that means that God has to be speaking through you if he's given you that gift within the church. Secondly, there's the ministering gifts, and it is to be done through the power of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And then, therefore, we know that these gifts are done through the power of the Holy Spirit in the church corporate. Okay? So, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. This one's for the kids before I start reading. What's the two categories of gifts that God gives according to 1 Peter 4, 10, 11. Speak it out loud, kids.
Speaking and doing.
Very good. Speaking and ministering or doing. Very good. What's the two works that God is involved in? His what? Creation. And what's the second one? Da da da, I love to proclaim it. Da da. No. Da, 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 da. Creation is one. Oh, did you say redemption?
Yes.
Oh. Pastor James, listen better. Redemption. I'm sorry. Redemption. All right, so here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:1-11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that there were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but the Holy Ghost, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but in the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the works of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and the self same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. So spirituals. That's what we're looking at first of all. What are these definition of spirits? How do we understand spirituals? There's a Western misconception of this word. Our culture typically uses the word in quite a different way than the Bible means for us to use this word. Spiritual, from our postmodern Western culture, is in their thinking has no discernible content, is completely subjective and ethically undemanding. Okay. It is the status quo with a warm glow. It is something without words, without location or specificity. Spiritually is what we are when we sit quietly and think uplifting thoughts. Of course, no one has any idea exactly what an experience of spirituality really is, other than a nice experience. So people will talk about, it has a good vibe, man. Man, we were vibing. It has this nice, good vibe, right? Have you ever heard that statement? But the vibes were good. Yeah, but it didn't accomplish what God wanted to. But pastor, you got to understand, the vibes were good. We were vibing, man. We were zenning out. We're having this good emotional stirring and feeling. And that's what church is supposed to accomplish in most people's minds. So most people that want to be religious or spiritual, they're going for the vibe. They're going for the feeling. They're not going to actually see God work. They're going to see their emotions work. Now, could that be very dangerous? Now, what I'm not saying is that church can never be emotional. What I'm not saying is that God doesn't work in your emotions at times. What I'm saying is that our emotions cannot be the engine which drives the church. Okay? Because sometimes when our emotions are the engines, do we even want to show up to church? No, we don't even want to show up to church, right? I've had a late night, kids been up, not feeling well. You haven't got the sleep that you want to, and that alarm clock goes off. Man, if I was vibing in that moment, I'd just turn the alarm clock off and go back to bed, right? This is a culture that is run by feelings, and that's not what it means to be spiritual, to totally be run by feelings. The Bible definition of spiritual means spirituality is defined altogether in terms of the Spirit of God or Christ. One is spiritual to the degree that one's lives in and walks by the Spirit. In scriptures, the word has no other meaning and no other measurement. Right? So spiritual, means to refer to actions or attitudes derived from the work of the Holy Spirit in all Christians. Although I do not have a problem with editorial edition of gifts, Paul uses the word spirituals alone, focusing on the gifts as the activities of the Holy Spirit in all Christians. Okay, so this is a little bit different because we know that we are to be given over to all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. We're to be given over to all of that, and that's to be produced in our life. But we are not given all the gifts or the characteristics of God as they're meant to be used in church. There's divisions of that, and who determines those divisions? According to the scriptures. There's diversity of the character of God, right? That he plans to use in our corporate meeting place. This is the gifts to be used in the body local of the church. Okay, I'm very, very local church, although I do think there is some room for an aspect of a universality in Christianity. I think practically everything works out in a local assembly, practically. And what is happening here? That's practical working out of the power of God is to be seen by us yielding to the work of our spirit, the work of the Spirit in our new nature. And by yielding to that work of the Spirit, it is to be shown among us, to edify us, to grow us, and to make us more into a perfect image of Christ. Obviously, there is the Holy Spirit that works to divide as he sees fit and enables certain characteristics of himself to be more evident in certain people and other characteristics to be more evident in other people. That just is how God works according to the scripture. The big part is spirituals is something that is produced by God, and man's responsibility is to yield to that which is produced by God. So God produces the spirituals in your life, the gifts in our church. And what are we to do as a church? Yield to the working of the Spirit in our church. Give opportunity, give preference to others' gifts. Ask God how we can work together as a unified, healthy body for his glory and for his praise. These spirituals are, secondly, something that are produced by the Spirit. Verse 3, that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So we can make a twofold conclusion from these verses. First, activities source. You will either speak or not speak through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Remember 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11? If any man speak, let him speak as the words or oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives. That God is all in all, may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that this activity is sourced within us, whether it be speaking or working, who is the one that is to be showing his characteristic through us? The what? The Spirit of God, right? So in his activity, as specifically put through in his character being shown through how we conduct ourselves among each other, needs to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, needs to be given over to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will do the work as we yield to his moving in our life. All right. Now, is this an easy task? I would say it's an impossible task to do by law. I don't think we go to the Bible and we look and say, if I do this, this, and this, then the The Holy Spirit must use me in this and this way. If it's a gift, it's a gift. Amen. Now I can receive a gift and never use it. Can I do that? If somebody gifted me a car, a brand new car, if I never took the keys out and turned the car on, it's my gift, but is it being used? I don't need anybody to give me a car. What I need is for people to understand that we have this powerful gift that God wants to work in us. But if we don't ever yield to it, never trust it, it's never going to be used. Right? So, you say, Pastor, that's crazy. If somebody gave you a really nice car, of course you'd use it. And the devil is very, 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 very deceptive in getting us to trust in something else besides God's gift to do the work of God. He might give us talents that we rely on. He might give us things that we can do in ourselves. But I'm telling you that you cannot speak the words of God unless the Holy Spirit is yielded to in your life. You cannot do the works of God unless the Holy Spirit is yielded to in your life. The authority source, speaking by the Spirit of God, called Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. We see a twofold principle in these two phrases. First, the inability to curse Jesus as speech is through the agency of the Spirit. If I say I'm being moved by the Spirit, who can I not curse? Who can I not curse if the Holy Spirit is at work with my words? Gee, who? I can't curse Christ. I can't say that Christ's work isn't perfect. So, let's apply this. What is uniquely fitted together? Christ in his person as the Word in the Bible is also described as the Word, right? So, if we get up and we preach principles that are contrary to the Word of God, guess who's not at work with that? The Holy Spirit. If we get up behind the pulpit and we say things that aren't biblical, it is not the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit's going to uplift Christ. Second thing, the ability to claim Jesus as Lord through the agency of the Spirit. If I'm going to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord, who has to enable me to say that, to mean what I say? The who? The Holy Spirit. So therefore, in the church, if we are saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, then there better be some marks of the Holy Spirit being in control in what we're saying. You know, kids are really fast learners, and there's a balance to this, parents, but sometimes if you pray and you allow your kids to speak what they're thinking, it can be very convicting at times, can it? Because they are hypocrite detectors, are they not? They say you love Jesus. Well, if you love Jesus, why don't you keep his commandments? Right? If you love Jesus, then why don't you act like Jesus? So how many of us have been tempted not to act like Jesus? Come on. Will we all say all of us? So in that time of conflict, in that time of disagreement, in that time of needing to make decisions, we must act like Jesus. And how do we act like Jesus? According to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. If we say he's our master, if we say he's our provider, who must be at work? The what? The what? Look at verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Who must be at work for us to claim that Jesus Christ is Jehovah? To claim that he's Lord. The what? The Holy Spirit. So how can we detect when we're not being led by the Holy Spirit? You think the Holy Spirit is going to be in charge of a place that isn't loving? A place that isn't joyful? A place that has no peace? A place that has no long-suffering and patience with each other? A place that isn't meek? A place that isn't kind? A place that's not filled with full of faith and self-control, spirit control, if you will. So how do we practically use this, guys? We judge the spirits, correct? We have discerning spirits. We have discernment of the spirits at work in our life. So, Pastor James is in the moment gritting his teeth and then exploding. Is that something that's spirit-led? Well, no, because it's not loving. It's not peaceful. It has no long-suffering. It's not temperate. So I can definitely say I'm not using the characteristic that God has distributed it to me, because I'm not claiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. What I'm trying to say is there's a beautiful union that happened at your salvation that should enable you to see the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It should be activated by the Spirit's power so that you can claim that Jesus Christ is Lord. John 16:12-15. John 16:12-15. Hearing, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. So kids, this is for the kids here. What person is speaking in John 16? You have three choices. You have the Father, you have the Son, or you have the Holy Spirit. Now, all three people are talked about in these verses, right? But who's doing the talking? Let's read it again. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. So who is not speaking right now? The Spirit of who? Doing the literal speaking right now. I understand that when Christ spoke, the Spirit spoke, okay? So don't get that technical with me. I'm actually saying the person that is speaking the words right now, can it be the Spirit? No, because he promises to send the Spirit. Are you seeing this? Kids, turn in your Bible, look at your Bibles. It's okay. The Bible's not going to bite you. Howbeit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. All right? So the Holy Spirit's not speaking right now. He's going to speak, but it won't be his words that he's speaking. He's going to hear the words, and he's going to speak the words. Does everybody see that? Right? And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. So, who do we know is not speaking right now? The Spirit's not speaking. And then if in the last verse I just read, which is verse number 15, all things that the who? The what? The who? The Father. So who is not speaking right now? The Spirit and the Father. So who's the only one that can be speaking right now if the Spirit and the Father aren't speaking? Class? Jesus. You guys are good. Smart young people here. Jesus is the one. Sorry, adults. I'm teaching to the kids right now, okay? But I'm thinking you can get it. If the kids can get it, you can. If the kids can get it, hopefully all of us can get it, right? It is Jesus who is speaking. And the Holy Spirit will be proclaiming what Jesus says. Why? Because all things that the Father hath are mine. So it's the Father's plan. The Holy Spirit empowers the plan. And the person of the plan is Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is always going to be in unity in the teaching of the Word of God. Not just the teaching. Because remember, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 talks about two ways, two categories that the character of the Holy Spirit will touch. What are the two categories? Speaking and doing. Speaking and doing. So it's not just what I say, it's what I do. And my kids can tell you, I can say one thing and do a complete other thing with my actions. And if I do that, who is not at work? The Spirit of God is not at work. And therefore, I am not using the grace that He has made available to me. And what's the manifestation of the Spirit? But the manifestation, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to the profit withal. So the Holy Spirit makes himself known through his spiritual character. And that's so we So what do we know about the Spirit's character? Okay, let me do this. Okay, let's pretend you don't know what's in this pulpit. Can you see what's in my pocket? Okay, can anybody see what's in my pocket? No, what do I have to do? I have to manifest it to you. It's not in your pocket anymore. Yeah. What was in my pocket was these things for Pastor Unger, because I won't touch them, and my wallet, correct? I manifested that to you. So the Holy Spirit's work isn't supposed to be just talked about. You're supposed to be able to. You're supposed to be able to what? See it. Right? Now we can talk really spiritual. Can we not? We can say a bunch of spiritual things. But what I'm saying is, look at verse number 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So how do I know the Spirit's at work? Because he shows himself. What I'm trying to say is it's just not words, it's actions. And even how I teach shouldn't just be words, but it should be actions. Even in the speaking gifts, God is acting. God is working. God is moving. There's a universal aspect. What do you think a universal aspect means? Is there any... Do you only get this as a Christian if you're really, really spiritual. Does your IQ have to be over 75 to get a spiritual gift? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 tells us what? But the manifestation is given to men. So every Christian, despite color, despite race, despite ethnicity, despite customs, despite background, once you become saved, what do you receive from God? A spiritual characteristic. The spiritual characteristic should be observable. People should be able to see it. And not only should people be able to see it, everybody has it. Okay? The third thing. It unifies through edification to profit with all. So, if you are a Christian, your gift should be evident. The spiritual characteristic of God that primarily needs to work through you needs to be seen by all. And it's given to how many Christians? All Christians. And it's for the purpose of what? Will my spiritual gift tear you down or build you up? Oh, please don't say you don't know. If I'm working in our family through the power of the Holy Spirit, is our family risen up or torn down? Which way do we go? Up or down? Up, right? If I'm working through the power of the flesh, down, right? So, if you say, I'm going to use my spiritual gift, and your thought is you're going to use your spiritual gift to tear everybody down, is that something that's produced by the Holy Spirit or the flesh? Guys are looking at me like, would people really think that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of fleshly people that think that if I can tell people where they're wrong, bless God, and tear them apart, that makes myself feel good about myself, and that builds me up while I'm tearing them down. If that's your attitude, now, we would never verbally say that, would we? But we sure do think it sometimes, don't we? When we feel offended by somebody, when we feel hurt by somebody, our first reaction in the flesh is to defend ourselves by pointing and picking and pointing and picking. Hey, that's not a love-filled community. That's not a peace-filled community. There'll be no joy in that community. There'll be no patience in that community. Your spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit is giving to you. So the spiritual characteristic the Holy Spirit gives to you is to edify His church for His glory and for His honor. So that means that if you have a speaking gift and you, there's an aspect that all men are given the ability to teach if they're husbands and they have a family. Why? Because it is their job to be led by the Spirit to spiritually teach their what? Homes, correct? So, even if you don't feel comfortable getting behind the pulpit, which I'm trying to give more and more opportunity to people to get behind the pulpit to preach, if they are qualified and if they are called and if they're Spirit-led, what we have to identify, though, is in the sermon, if I'm Spirit-led, it will be for the building of the church. It will be through this, me confessing that Christ is Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. So even in my speaking gifts, even in my teaching gift, even in my preaching gift, it needs to build you all up. Hey, teachers, can we get sarcastic sometimes with the students? Dads, can we get sarcastic with our kids sometimes? Grandparents, can we get sarcastic with our grandchildren sometimes? Never that. Is that a spiritual quality, a spiritual grace, or is that a fleshly thing? It's fleshly. So if I believe that I'm gifted, that I have the characteristic of the Holy Spirit to be able to teach and preach, then it must be coupled with building up, not tearing down. Correct? So if I'm constantly tearing down, not stand for truth, amen, stand for righteousness, stand for biblical truth, but there needs to be an attitude and there needs to be a yielding to the Spirit so that He can take the words that I speak and transform them into the balm that is needed to heal and to build. I'm to exhort. I'm to correct. I'm to rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm supposed to do that as a preacher. And if I do that in the right spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you hear that, it will build you up, not tear you down. So if you're constantly leaving the church and you're trying to live for the Lord and you're trying to repent and you constantly feel torn apart, there's a problem with that, right? Remember somebody calling me and telling me about their experience at church, and they said, basically, James, I go to church on Sunday and feel so torn apart. I'm finally getting back into the joy of my salvation by Wednesday. And then Thursday, I'm getting torn apart again, and it takes me till Saturday just to feel like I'm in the joy of the Lord again. That shouldn't be happening in church, amen? Even if I'm stepping on your toes with my preaching, even if I'm saying, hey, we need to get right as a church, there needs to be a point where we're confessing, we're forsaking, and then the joy of the Lord is restored because the Holy Spirit is doing this to restore us. So there's a problem. It might be a problem in my presentation and not being filled with the Holy Spirit. It might be in your problem of pride and saying, this isn't my problem. I can live the life I want to live, and nobody has a right to tell me what to do. Even if they show it to me through Scripture, I know what's best. But I'm responsible for the first. My attitude has to be such that I'm building up, not tearing down, because the Holy Spirit is working through His characteristic of teaching and preaching that He's working in me for you. Summing up, how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and His activity? First, sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Because of the filthiness all around us, I think we've become very hard to the leading of the Spirit. Because of the pleasures of sin for a season being so powerful today, you guys can say whatever you want, but everything is so much more accessible to us today than it's ever been. And even things that are good. No, it's unbelievable that when the Spirit is working and the Spirit is being yielded to in a church's life, conversation changes. It's not always about temporal things. It's about spiritual and eternal things. All right? We're not talking just, and we can talk about the weather and be spiritual. We can talk about cars. We can talk about history. We can talk about politics. But my friend, if that's all we do in our talking to one another, how are we building each other up? In fact, the more I hear about politics, the more I feel I'm being torn down. Anybody with me? Yeah? Even if you're gifted with discerning, a discernment and discernment of spirit, which is a gift, it better be to build us up, not to tear us down. I want to be a spirit-filled pastor. I want to be amongst the people that are spirit-filled and using the characteristics of the Holy Spirit as they're yielding to them. How's that going to be happen? We can't excuse our sin. We can't excuse things that are amoral, doesn't have a morality. And when the Holy Spirit tells us to... Now, I can't judge you in that. If you're looking and listening to something that is amoral, it's not right or wrong, it's just indifferent, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. So I can't get up there and say, like I grew up, you need to take an axe to the boob tube. That's what they always called the TV. This tube, you need to... I mean, we had people put a TV when I was... I'll never forget. And take a sledgehammer and hit the TV. And you had all the smoke. It probably was really bad for us from the stuff in the TV. That's ridiculous. That is not right at all. Okay? You can have a TV. You can have a computer. You can have all of that. But that's not to replace God. And every time you're discouraged or downhearted, we can't constantly run to things that are amoral. They're not right or wrong. We have to run and be led by the Spirit. And I think we have so many opportunities to comfort ourselves that sometimes we don't think we need the Spirit. Because we're satisfied with the comfort that lasts for just a season. What's that song? The world will try to satisfy the longing in your heart. You may search the wide world over, but you'll be just as before. Right? You'll never find true satisfaction until you find the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy the soul. So other things can satisfy your flesh, but only Jesus can build you up. And we have to be built up by the leading of the Spirit. Secondly, your sensitivity to the Spirit is reduced by allowing sinful attitudes or actions in your life. Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Finally, your responsiveness increases by keeping company with God and listening to His word. Man, this is very convicting. These things are very, very convicting. Sense of the Spirit leading. The sensitivity of the Spirit's leading can be dulled by sinful actions. And finally, your responsiveness increases by keeping company with God and listening to His word. There's an old statement that says, when the rubber meets the road, or when the nail hits, the hammer hits the, not nail, but this nail, what are you going to do in those times of pressure? What are you going to do when you're discouraged? What are you going to do? I'm in this phase right now. I'm studying the Word of God and I just can't figure it out. Have you ever been there? Like, what is this saying to me? Maybe you've never been there. I'm studying it. I'm looking at it. I'm like, this is a wonderful scripture. Amen. It's a wonderful scripture. But I have no idea how to really apply it. Anybody ever been there? I think I'll just surf the internet for a little bit. Or I think I'll just dive into entertainment to clear my mind. Well, if the Holy Spirit's okay with that, that's okay. But most of the time, He wants you to pray and keep company with Him, and then He'll show you. Right? But again, we're living in this microwave society. Right? You just press a button and whoop, hot and ready right now. I live that way sometimes. And when I live that way, I can't truly show the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. Because in order to use that gift that's totally produced by Him, I have to be yielded to Him. Right? So where is the Holy Spirit showing you? Places that you need to yield so He can manifest in the observable working of His characteristic can be evident in our midst, in our church. That's what I want us to think about this week. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for all that You've done. We thank You for the wonderful gifts that You've given to us. May You use it for Your honor and glory, and may You build us up through it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, go ahead.